Christians to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, The Secret to a Content Heart. And I want to ask, why do we as human beings always want more and more and work ourselves into oblivion, if you will, to get these things? And what does God say about how we can gain peace from all this and a content heart?
The grace and the peace of Christ rule in your hearts today, to which we were called in the one gospel. Through God our Father. Amen. Today, I'd like to talk with you about a content heart, a heart that has peace and quiet and trust, is satisfied, happy, and joyful, even in a world where we don't always get what we want, we don't always get what we think we need, and also in a world where basically everybody around us in the world is discontent. They are striving and craving for more than they have, not content with what they actually already possess, but always desiring something else. And so the world is full of discontent. And I want to talk about our hearts today as Christians. What is your heart right now? Do you have a content heart, would you say? At rest? Satisfied? Or always craving something else? Something more or other than what you already have? Something other than what God has already given you in Jesus Christ. So let's talk about having a content heart today and what God would teach us about that through his holy word. Well, what does God teach us? Well, first of all, the first thing I believe God teaches us today is you need to be careful, my people, because you live in the midst of a world that is full of discontent, where people's hearts are not satisfied. They're craving after things that they don't have yet, not satisfied with what they have, and so they're never at rest, never quiet, always striving and thirsting for something more, and so they never have rest. It's never enough. And in what kinds of ways are or is the world or are people in the world discontented in their hearts? The world in which we live. Well, first of all, people are discontented with what they own, with their possessions, with what they have. It's never enough. If someone has an iPhone 6, they want an iPhone 7. If they have a 7, they want an 8. If they have an 8, they want a 9. If they have a 9, they want a 10. Whatever the newest thing that their neighbor has, they're discontent until they get it. Right? You feel that way? If you have a boat, you want a bigger boat. If you want a house, you want a better house. If you have this car, you want a better car. It's never enough. Same thing with money. If you have $10, you want 20. If you have a billion, you want 2 billion. This is the world, God says, that we live in. It's discontent with what it has. So be on guard. Another thing is people are discontent with their jobs. Do you find this when you talk with people? Always complaining or grumbling at their boss is a jerk, or their labor is a drudge and a bore. Their coworkers are unbearable to work with. And doesn't matter what job you give them, they're not content with that job most of the time. You have, the office man wants to be a blue collar worker and pick up a hammer. Oh, if only I could do that, my life would be great. The blue collar worker says, oh, if only I could work in an office and sit down all day. That would be great. The pastor of a small church wants a larger church. The pastor of a larger church wishes he could have the simplicity of a smaller church. And so no one's satisfied in their position. Martin Luther said that even 500 years ago, everyone sees his own trouble, but not the troubles of others. You always think the grass is greener on the other side, but when you get to the other side, It's generally not as green as the grass you just had and gave up. Therefore, people often switch their jobs because they think their neighbor seems to be somehow better off than they are. So people are full of discontent. Thirdly, they're discontent at their location, where they live. Do you ever meet people that have gone from place to place and house to house and apartment to apartment and state to state and they've lived like 20 places, but they're still not satisfied because their heart is full of discontent? And people are discontented with their looks. Now, sometimes men, but I think a lot of times women. The brunette wants to be a blonde. The blonde wants to be a brunette. The curly hair wants straight hair. The straight-haired one wants curly hair. Oh, if only God had made me that way. People go to gyms all the time because they don't look like Miss Swimsuit Sports Illustrated model. And they're discontent with the way they look. The tall wants to be short, the short wants to be tall. And as for my clothes, well, they looked good on me yesterday and chic, but now I just don't look so new. I need a new look. I'm discontent. People are also discontent with their spouse. And you certainly see that in the world. People want a new one. I want to turn in my wife for a newer model. Just like a car. Martin Luther, 500 years ago, talked about this. It was the same thing he said then. People will see only the faults in their spouse, not the good traits, but in someone else's wife or some other woman, they'll see all the good traits, but none of the faults. So the man gives up his wife for a newer model, divorces and gets a new wife. But God is an avenger on all these things, says Martin Luther, and he'll see to it that that woman's faults will now be readily apparent to him, and he divorces her and marries another, and so on and so forth until he's married, miserable, to an old hag. Those are Luther's words, and he's right. People are discontented with their spouse that God has given to them. And they're discontented with the fun that they're having in life. Everybody else seems to be having more fun than I am. I want to have as much fun as this person. You know, I'm guilty of this too, because I watch YouTube sometimes. And I watch this guy with a paramotor. You ever hear that? It's where you have a parachute and then this motor attached to your back. And this guy can up and away like Superman. He just runs 30 feet down the park and he takes off. And he goes up over the trees and he flies up to the clouds. And then he goes down and he can swoop just a few feet off the ground through cornfields and in and amongst trees and this way and that. He's free as a bird. And I envied the man. Then he goes to Iceland on another YouTube and flies amongst all those beauties. He comes back and guess what? He is bored with New Jersey. He's bored with taking off and flying over trees free as a bird. The discontent in the heart of man is unquenchable. This guy is discontent that he can fly. I'd be happy to jump off the ground a little higher. Discontented. And then people are especially discontent with their hardships, their troubles in life, because they don't see the good that God is working through them in and through their troubles, but only their pain. And so grumbling, crying out, malcontent, complaining over the troubles is the standard way of people, because they're discontent certainly with troubles. And they see someone else having a better life, they want to quickly switch and try to get to how their neighbor is living. And so since hardships and troubles are the standard fare for every one of us in life, most people in the world are never happy. They never get out of it. They never find peace in it because their hearts are filled with, what's the word? Discontent. Never resting. Always craving. And frankly, they're just plain miserable. God says, beware. This is the world you're living in, friends. The world's never going to be content. Why is man, or why are men, ever full of discontent? What's the Bible say? Let's open that and see what God teaches us in Proverbs 27. Verse 20 says, God says, Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied, and never satisfied are the eyes of man. Is that true? Man's eyes are never quenched. They always want more than what they've got. And why? Ecclesiastes 4, verse 4 says this: I saw all the toil and skill in which and work come from a man's envy of his neighbor. Someone else seems to be having more fun, has a better spouse, has a better house, has better possessions, has more money, has a better location, has a better life than I have, and so I'm just plain not content. I want what Joe has, not what I've got, not what God's given me. This is the way of man. If you have a youth group activity, like we did on Friday night, I was teaching on baptism and not baptizing, but I poured just a little water over the kids, and I poured it over almost everybody's head. And one girl at the end was, God bless her, and I'd say the same thing. She said, but he got more water than I did. Right? That's the way I do it too. You know, God can make a 7-course meal for human beings, and we complain because he didn't give us crackers with our soup. We're always looking not at what God has given to us, but at that one thing that we don't have, and that leads to discontentment, which means you're going to be miserable. Because a discontented heart is never happy. It'll never be satisfied. It'll never be at rest. As Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 1, all things are full of weariness. A man can't utter it. For the eye isn't satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. And so you got, that's the state of man's heart. And then you got what? The world with its advertisements comes along. And I'll tell you something. Every advertisement you see on TV, its one aim is to make you discontent. You got this car, but guess what? We got a better one for you. You got this, we got a better one for you over here. And if you just chew this gum or drink this beer, all the girls will flock to you at your door. So you're like, wow, I need that. I'm not content with what I have. I'm going to go out and chew that gum and drink that beer, but guess what? You buy it, and they never come. And you're discontented. That is the way of the world. And besides that, you've also got the devil against you, because he's the ultimate malcontent, the original. What do we read in the scriptures of him? Isaiah 14, the devil said in his heart, I'll ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I'll set my throne on high. In other words, I'm going to be better than God. I'm not content with this glorious position God's given to me. I want one better, better than God. Better than he has, but God says, devil, you're brought down to Sheol and to the depths of the pit. And the devil, the enemy of our souls, is never content to have you content as a Christian. He wants to sow discontentment in you, make you yearn for more, never satisfied with what God's given you, but always seeing what he has withheld from you, and to make you complain over it and be a big troublemaker. So I want to ask you a question. Are you going to be a chump? Are you going to fall in for this trap? Or are you going to be able to escape from it? Well, what is God's will for us? Let's take a look at what God's will for us in Scripture. What does God say to us in the Bible about our lives? Philippians chapter 4. We turn there to Paul, who, remember, suffered great things. He says in verse 11, I do not complain of want, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. Could you say that? In whatever state. I have much or I have little. I'm in hunger and cold and exposure, or I have a house. I am not complaining, for I have learned in every state to be content. Could you say that? Is that what your heart's... You know, one reason I'm preaching this week is because my heart, I found that at the beginning of the week, was discontent. So I said I better preach on contentment and learn something about it. We also turn over here to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, where he even had a messenger of Satan harassing him. It was from the Lord to keep him from being proud. And he was imprisoned, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked. And Paul says, for the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Could you say that? I'm content even when God gives me hard times and calamities, as well as when he gives me pleasures. This is the heart that God wants you to have. We read in Luke chapter 4, John the Baptist, when he was preaching, preached to the soldiers who asked him, and we, what shall we do? He says, rob no one by violence or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. Be content with what your salary is. Don't seek for more, and don't scheme to get it unjustly either. Hebrews 13, keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. For God has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So what is God's will for you? What do you say? Be content. Thank you, Gene. Be content. And it gives you great joy. If you can leave here today content, I tell you, you'll be richer than Donald Trump and all the other billionaires of the world. Why? Because a tranquil mind gives life to the flesh, but it's passion that makes the bones rot. You can have contentment today. And God, does it sound like he wants you to be a depressed basket case, right, like the rest of the world? Malcontent, discontent, ever striving, never finding, a wild wave of the sea, a wandering star, never satisfied, miserable. That's not what God wants for you. That's not what he gave you in Jesus Christ. He wants you actually, get this, happy, like Paul, whether you face thunder or sunshine, whether you're imprisoned or whether you're free, whether you're facing plenty or hunger, whether you got good times or bad times, you can be content when you look at what God has given to you and know that he's working everything good in it. And so what are the secrets to being content in life? I'll tell you, they're nearly not secrets, but they are secrets to the world. But they're right here in the open, straight, plain words of Scripture. Let me open and unfold some of them to you right now to set you free. How about your possessions? Do you want more than you got? I want this, I want that. I got to have the latest model of iPhone or whatever it may be. God says, Jesus said, take heed, beware of all covetousness. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. You know, we really don't need as much as we think we need in life. God says, I'm not going to judge you based on how much you have, but the greatness is I look in a different way, and I want you to be content. For he who loves money, you're not going to be satisfied with it, nor he who loves wealth with gain. It's an emptiness, says Scripture. Every time a billionaire gets a billion, he wants another billion. He's never satisfied, but you can be richer today by just being content with what God has given to you. If he gives you more, enjoy it. If he gives you less, enjoy it. Whatever he gives is good and best. Whatever God ordains is best. In fact, I thought there's a hymn called that, and I thought of using that for my ordination. Whatever God ordains is best. How about your job? God says you're to be content with your job. Now, you can change jobs if you want to. That's okay, too. But even slaves were to obey their earthly masters in the Bible, not with eye service as men pleasers, but doing the work of God from their hearts, knowing that God would give them the inheritance as their reward. It was that they were serving the Lord Christ. So God says, I'm not going to judge you on how great your job is, but on how great you do your job. Be content with where I place you. And if you have another job, that's great too, but do your best in it. You're free to be content. And with where you are, people travel state to state and city to city and apartment to apartment to seek peace, but they're full of discontent. But you can have content today by God's word, which says, I'm with you always to the close of the age. Wherever you go, I am with you. That's our contentment as Christians. And as for your looks, especially ladies, remember, God doesn't look on the outward appearance, but upon the heart, it says in 1 Samuel 16. God says, in Jesus Christ today, you're already beautiful. For charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You don't have to be a swimsuit model. And by the way, that all stuff is just fake anyway. It's just manipulation of the picture by the people who put it together. These people didn't even look this way in real life. And if you were to meet them, you know. So God says, don't be chumps. Don't buy into that. And as for your spouse, it says in the Bible, and I'm going to even open this. I can't believe, it's in the Bible. It says this. It says, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be infatuated always with her love. Why should you be infatuated, my son, with a loose woman and embrace the bosom of an adventuress? For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he's caught in the toil of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he's lost. God says, be content with the spouse that I've given you. Now, in some cases, there might have to be a change if you're being abused or something like that, or adultery or something. But God says, be content with your spouse. Ask God to open the eyes to the good traits of your spouse and not to their faults. Don't change your wife. Otherwise, as Luther says, you'll be found at the end of your life with a miserable old hag. God will see to it. And as for fun, we don't have to fly over mountains and over trees. We don't need to be adrenaline junkies and eventually kill ourselves by jumping off of a mountain. For our purpose in life is different. It's to be aglow with the Spirit, serve the Lord. And we can enjoy our life as we go through it, but we're not bound to a life of an adrenaline junkie. And as for hardships, this is the real thing. Can you be content in a trouble, in a calamity? The world can't do it because it does not see God's hand at it, working as a tool to conform you into the image of Christ. But the Bible says, we know that in everything, God is working for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Paul had his eyes opened to see that through all these troubles, it was what the Lord had given to him, and therefore he was content, because it was with all speed conforming him into the image of Jesus Christ, and in that he was content. But a man's heart is such that it does not see the good that God is doing in times of trouble, but quickly envies his neighbor and quickly tries to get out of his calamity. Now, you can do that too and get out of it as quickly as you can, but let's also have contentment in our times of hardship, knowing that if they come from the Lord, he's got a good purpose in them. If he gives you good, that's great. If he withholds it, that's also great. He's got a plan, and Christians alone know this and can therefore have contentment and the joy that comes with it. Because discontentment blinds you to all of God's blessings, what he's really given to you. Amen. How do you have your eyes then opened to see the things that God has given to you, which discontent would blind you to? Well, for one, just realize that the Lord, whatever you have, as John the Baptist said, no one can receive anything except what is given him from above. If God has given you a trouble or a calamity or a difficulty, if it's from the Lord, then he's working an amazing good in it. I think of when Beth got this wonderful word years ago at a Women of Faith conference. My wife, she got the word that God was going to heal her in this life from all of her chronic difficulties. And she said, well, whether in this life or the next life, Lord, that's okay. I'm content. Oh, isn't that beautiful? But God said, no, in this life. And we're still waiting years to come. Are we content to wait upon the Lord's timing in this? I'll tell you, yes, we are. We want to get out of it as soon as possible. Get her healed and feeling well. Absolutely. We try to do that. But we're also content because as God withholds it for a time, I tell you, it's like an old video game, Pac-Man biting one of those power bullets. He goes all the faster in the direction he wants to go with greater power. When we have our difficulties, God is conforming us to the image of Christ, and with all speed, with steadfastness, and helping us to be more patient, fervent in prayer, more compassionate toward other people, closer with each other. So we're content with her weaknesses and hardships and difficulties, even while we seek to get out of them. It's the Christian way to be given this gift. And here's another key that God gives us to open our eyes. Discontentment sees what? Nothing of what God's given you and only what you didn't get from him. What does contentment see? What God's given you. So how do you do that? God says, here's the key of the kingdom. Give thanks. Give thanks to me and learn to have a heart of thanksgiving. Have you done that lately? I was thinking of Beth walking out to her car this week, and she was really not feeling well. She was in pain and whatever, and she's going along, and she goes, oh, and look at this little flower growing out of the crack in the sidewalk. Taking joy in the things that God has given to her. It reminds me of that song from the whatever musical, Annie Get Your Gun, remember that one? You know which one I'm going to say? Taking stock of what I have and what I haven't. What do I find? The things I've got will keep me satisfied. Checking up on what I have and what I haven't. What do I find? A healthy balance on the credit side. Got no mansion, got no yacht, still I'm happy with what I've got. I got the sun in the morning and the moon at night. Remember that one? Got no butler, got no maid, still I think that I'm overpaid. I got the sun in the morning and the moon at night. Got no checkbooks, got no banks, still I'd like to express my thanks. I've got the sun in the morning and the moon at night. For with the sun in the morning and the moon in the evening, I'm all right. We don't need as much as we think we need. When you give thanks for the sun in the morning and the morning and the moon at night, you realize you've got everything already in Jesus. He's given you so much, and thanksgiving will open your eyes to the flower in the sidewalk and to the joys of this and the joys of that, which are everywhere around you, which discontent is blinding you to. But thanksgiving opens and says, I have this, and I have that, I have that. And what's the result, friends? A happy heart. And you enjoy life, which God has given to enjoy under the sun. For we've brought nothing into the world, and we can't take anything out of the world, says Paul. But if we have food and clothing with these alone, we shall be content. And you already have everything in Christ. In him, friends, we have redemption through his blood, redeemed, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. You have the help of the angels, the Holy Spirit living inside of you, the forgiveness of your sins. You're destined in love. You're adopted as the sons of God. You're conquerors of the devil, victors over death, a new creation, free to live a new life and enjoy it, and are promised a beautiful life to come. Because what we don't have now, and what you're discontent and want, guess what? God's going to give you anyway in a very short order in the future. For the Bible says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will not God also give us all things with Christ? What is God going to withhold with you? No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. Be content with what you have, it's for your good. Be content with what he withholds from you, it's for your good. And be content that in the future, everything that you desire and crave will come to you in the world to come. Because Ephesians 2 says, God's plan is in the coming ages to show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards you in Christ Jesus. And therefore, we have joy. Christians alone have the keys and the secrets to a content heart today, and not necessarily waiting till tomorrow. The world is full of discontent, a wild wave of the sea, a wandering star, ever searching and never finding, but we know where to look. To Jesus Christ, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And like Paul, we've learned in whatever state we are to be content. We know how to be abased, we know how to abound. In any and all circumstances, we have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me, in Christ who is with me, in Christ who will never fail in me nor forsake me, in Christ who promises me great things in the world to come. For thou dost show me the path of life, O Lord. In thy presence there is fullness of joy. In thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Secret to a Content Heart, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier, and if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are 10 a.m. on Sundays, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages or leave a comment on this one, please visit our website at christlutheranchurchcapecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week. In our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our souls. And God bless you.